in our study. Over the past weeks, we have been talking about the disciples, those men that the Lord Jesus chose to move to a higher level and to become apostles. And over the past 13 weeks now, we have talked about Peter, John, James, talked about Andrew, talked about Matthew, Thomas, Philip, Bartholomew. Then in our study together last time, we saw the three men called the obscure ones, you remember. Three obscure ones, Simon Zelotes, James the son of Alphaeus, and Judas, who was the brother of James, and we talked about them. But now we come to the villain in the group. Tonight we're going to begin looking at the one who is known as the traitor in Luke chapter 6, verse number 16. He is the one who betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew 10:4, Mark 3:19. And as we come to consider this man, Judas Iscariot, as we come to consider him, there's a key verse that I want us to keep in mind. And so turn with me, if you would please, to Luke chapter 6 and verse number 12. In Luke chapter 6, verse number 12, the Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." Now, if you continue reading, you will see that in the context, after spending all night in prayer, the very next day, Jesus chose these 12 men. Jesus prayed all night before making his choice because of two things. First of all, it was an important decision. By the way, let me just say, anytime you make an important decision in your life and you make that decision without spending much time in prayer, you are asking for trouble. This was an important decision. Jesus, therefore, spent much time in prayer. It was an important decision because these 12 men, these were the men who would continue his ministry. These were the ones who would continue the great work that he was starting and that would carry it on when he returned to heaven. So it was an important decision. Not only that, I believe Jesus spent all night in prayer because, number two, it was a difficult decision. You see, Jesus did not choose Judas Iscariot and then later on say, "Whoops. Uh-oh. Boy, that one slipped by me." Right? Now, Judas was known to the Lord. Jesus knew exactly who Judas was. He knew exactly what Judas would do. And yet he chose him to be an apostle. That was a difficult thing. That was a difficult decision. And we're going to be dealing with more about that here in just a few minutes. But this presents a great question that I think we would need to deal with by way of introduction. And the question is simply this. You would expect someone who had spent 3.5 years with the Lord Jesus. For 3.5 years they have walked with the Lord. They have seen all the miracles of Jesus. They've heard all the teaching of Jesus. After 3.5 years of being in that environment, you would expect them to be a true believer in the Lord Jesus, wouldn't you? Sure. You would expect them to be a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, yet in spite of everything that he had seen, and in spite of everything that he had heard, Judas Iscariot was the sad case of a man who had, number one, he had truth without understanding. That's a sad case. He's the sad case of a man who had light without enlightenment. And he's the sad case of a man who had knowledge without belief. That's a sad case. That's a sad case. In other words, Judas was, as one writer noted, a spiritual opportunist. He was a spiritual opportunist. He wanted the benefits. And this goes right along with what we were talking about on Sunday morning, if you will remember, talking about those birds who lived under the shadow of the tree. They weren't a part of the tree. They weren't attached to the tree. They just enjoyed the comforts of the tree. That was Judas Iscariot. That was Judas Iscariot. It's interesting to see in Judas's conversations with Jesus. In Matthew 16:25, Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" The word master there simply means rabbi, means teacher. Nowhere in the gospel record do you ever find Judas referring to Jesus as the Christ. You never find that. You never find Judas referring to Jesus as Lord. Never find that. You never find Judas referring to Jesus as the Son of God. You never find that. Never find that. In other words, Judas is exhibit A of what spiritual hypocrisy really looks like. He is exhibit A in what spiritual hypocrisy really looks like. Happens all the time, even today. Happens all the time when people jump on the Jesus bandwagon. I remember back in 1976, Jimmy Carter was running for president in the U.S. Jimmy Carter was the first U.S. presidential candidate to come out and to publicly declare that he was a born-again Christian. He was the first presidential candidate to ever do that. Others had insinuated that they were believers, but Jimmy Carter was the first one. You know, that big old grin he had and that southern drawl, and "I'm a born-again Christian," you know. And it became popular. It became popular. And before long, it was everybody jumping on the bandwagon. "Hey, good enough for the president, it's good enough for us. Yeah, we're born again too." Jumped on the bandwagon. But it was nothing more than hypocrisy, because even though many claimed that they had been born again, there was no evidence. There was no evidence of a new birth. In other words, their lies revealed that, just like those birds we talked about on Sunday, while they loved the benefits of being a Christian and being around Christians, they themselves were not true believers. They were not true believers. They found it beneficial to be around people who live by the principles of God's Word, but they have never repented of their sin in truth and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. This kind of hypocrite is not just seen in congregations. Now, we see it in congregations. Everywhere. Except Heritage Baptist Church, of course. We don't have this problem in our church. Well, until Brother Maverick came. Now we have the problem. But anyway. the truth, everywhere. Got this. We got it. But I want to say to you that the problem is not only seen in the congregations of our churches. In many places, it is seen standing behind the pulpit. It's seen standing behind the pulpit. These are the very ones that Jesus was talking about. Listen to it. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 and following, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" Now, we didn't just prophesy, Lord, we did it in your name, right? "And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." Lord, we've been leaders in the church, and we have done all these miraculous things, and we've done it all in your name. All right? And listen how God will respond. "Then will I profess unto them," Jesus said, "I never knew you." He does not say, "Well, you know, I used to know you, and then you sinned and you lost your salvation, and I don't know you anymore." No. He said, "I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Wait a minute. They were doing mighty works in Jesus' name, and yet Jesus said they were working iniquity. Why? Because they're hypocrites. They're hypocrites. These are the very same kind of people the Apostle Paul talked about. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 13, "For such are false apostles." They're false apostles. But notice this. Even though they are false apostles, it is not clearly obvious that they are false apostles. It's not clearly obvious. Why? Well, here's why. Because they are deceitful workers. See that? They are deceitful workers, transforming themselves. Now notice that. That's a key phrase right there. They transform themselves. God didn't transform them. You see that? God didn't change them. But they change themselves so they blend in. Okay? They change themselves, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. God didn't do it. They did it. They're deceitful. They're liars. And they have transformed themselves. They haven't been changed by the power of God. These are hypocrites who put on a mask and proclaim themselves to be the apostles of Christ. Are you shocked that that could happen? Are we shocked? No, we shouldn't be. Why? Well, keep reading here. "And no marvel," Paul said. No, this is no surprising thing. It should not shock us that this is true. Why? Look what he says. "And no marvel," here's why, "for Satan himself is transformed as an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if His ministers, who? Whose ministers? Satan's ministers, right? What? People who are doing all these works in Jesus' name, yet Jesus said they are workers of iniquity, and here Paul says they are ministers of Satan. Wow. Wow. It's no great thing if His ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now I want you to understand something here. We're talking about Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot, please understand this. Judas Iscariot was not deceived. He was not deceived. He was a phony from the very beginning. He was a phony, a fake, from the very beginning. Judas deliberately posed as a believer. Boy, he learned how to talk like an independent Baptist, you know. He learned the lingo. He learned how to talk. He learned how to act. He even wore a mustache. You know he had to look spiritual. And he was very good at his deception. He was very good. In fact, John MacArthur said this about Judas. He said that Judas was the cleverest hypocrite. He was the cleverest hypocrite we read about in all the Scriptures, for no one ever suspected him. Nobody ever suspected him. He had everybody fooled, except for Jesus, who knew what was in his heart. Because Judas Iscariot loved the benefits of following Jesus more than he loved Jesus. He loved the benefits of being around Christ more than he loved Christ. When the benefits dried up, and when Judas realized that there was no more profit in following Jesus, just like that, he was willing to sell him for 30 pieces of silver and to betray the Lord. That's Judas. As we've been looking at Judas, I want us to consider, number one, notice the circumstances of Judas. A couple of things that we want to notice here. First of all, letter A, his name. His name. The full name, Judas Iscariot, is used 10 times in Scripture. He is also, in a couple of places, referred to simply as Judas. However, when he is referred to simply as Judas, it is always made very clear that this is the Judas who was the betrayer. This is the Judas who was the traitor. And it is revealed either by a statement, such as we find in Matthew 26, verse 25, or it is revealed by the context, such as we find in Matthew 26, verse number 47. But as we consider the name of this man, two things that we find. First of all, in the name of Judas Iscariot, there is a praise. There is a praise. There have been many times when men with noble names did not live up to their name. Isn't that true? There have been many times when men had a noble name, but they didn't live up to it. And certainly Judas was a case in point. You see, the name Judas, or the name Judah, that's what it comes from, it literally means praise. It means praise. Judah, or Judas, was named after Judah, who was the fourth son of Jacob, who was honored because through his line, the Messiah, the Christ, would come into the world. The southern kingdom would eventually be called the kingdom of Judah. It was the kingdom of praise. It was the province of where Jerusalem was located, where the house of God was located, and where people came to worship and to praise the Lord God. Even though he had a name that served as a continual reminder of the importance of giving praise and worship to the Lord God, there is nothing found in the life of Judas that made him worthy of his name. Nothing. In other words, Judas was just like many today who call themselves Christian, but they do not live up to the name. They call themselves Christian, and yet they bring shame and reproach to the name of Christ by the way they live, by the way they conduct themselves. As we consider the name, not only do we see that it speaks of praise, but we also see it speaks of a location. Judas Iscariot. Iscariot refers to a geographical location. It literally means man of Kiriath. Man of Kiriath. And this was a town, according to Joshua 15, verse 25, that was located just south of Hebron. Just south of Hebron. Now, if you stop and think about it, that has some important meaning to it. Because if Judas was from that place, which it appears that he was, that means that of all of the disciples, he was the only one from Judah. All the others were from Galilee. Therefore, of all of the 12 men that Christ chose to be apostles, you know who the religious leaders of Judaism thought the most of? Judas was their hero. He was their boy. He's one of us. Those other 11, oh, they're from Galilee. Judas, yeah, he's the man. He's the man. Letter B, we see his place. And the writings are in the listings of the 12. And the listings of the 12, we find it in Matthew 10, 4, Mark 3, 19, Luke 6, 16. When the names of the 12 apostles are listed, Judas Iscariot is always listed last. He's always listed last. Certainly that is not without significance. Of course, Judas is not mentioned at all in the final listing of the apostles. In Acts chapter 1 and verse number 13. And the reason why he's not listed is because Judas is already dead. Already dead. Notice letter C, his mentions. His mentions. There is more information given to us about Judas Iscariot. There's more information given to us about Judas Iscariot in the Bible than any of the other disciples except for Simon Peter. Simon Peter is the only one of the 12 of whom we know more than we know about Judas. However, the tragedy is that in all of the things that we find in Scripture concerning Judas, nothing good is ever said about him. Nothing good is ever said. In fact, Judas is never mentioned in the Scriptures apart from the notation that identifies him as the betrayer. Every time he's mentioned, we're reminded, this is the traitor. This is the one who betrayed Christ. This is the one who was guilty of being the villain. This is the one. But there are some things that we that we can learn. First of all, we see his mentions, number one, concerning his identity. Concerning his identity. As you go through the Bible, you'll find there are many people of whom it was said that they had a devil. Jesus met many of them during his ministry. The maniac of Gadara, he had a devil. He had a legion, the Bible says. Many devils that lived inside of him. And so there are many people in Scripture that we find who had a devil, but it is only of Judas Iscariot that we find the Lord Jesus mentioning a very interesting thing. The Bible tells us over in John chapter 6, verse 70 and verse number 71, the Lord Jesus is speaking to His disciples, and here's what He said. He said, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you," listen to it carefully, "one of you is a devil." He did not say one of you has a devil. He said one of you is a devil. And in the very next verse, verse number 71, we are told very clearly that He spake of Judas Iscariot. He spake of Judas Iscariot. You see, not only was Judas Iscariot a man who was filled and controlled from time to time by Satan, Jesus declared that he was himself a devil. He was a devil. And therefore, it is not a surprise to find two things are revealed about him. First of all, we find that his master, not a mere demon, but Satan himself, entered in to Judas. You find that in John chapter 13, verse number 27. So we see his master. We also see his title. His title. In the Lord's Prayer, not "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That's the Lord's outline for prayer. The actual Lord's Prayer is found in John chapter 17. That's where the Lord prayed for his disciples. And by the way, we're included in that prayer too, but that's another sermon for another time. But in the Lord's Prayer, in John chapter 17, verse number 12, Jesus is praying and he says, "I have not lost any of those that you have given to me except for one." And he calls him the son of perdition. The son of perdition. Not, listen carefully, not a son of perdition, because that would mean there were others, right? But he makes it very specific that one of them was the son of perdition. It's also very significant that this same title is also used in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 3, concerning that man of sin who is yet to come. Same title is used of that one who will be known as the Antichrist, the one who will be completely controlled and empowered, Revelation chapter 13, verse number 4, by Satan himself. No wonder we find the Scriptures then speak not only concerning his identity, but the Scriptures also speak concerning his dominion. Acts chapter 1, verse 25, Peter is talking after the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead. He's gone back to heaven. The early church is meeting in the upper room. Peter is talking with them, and he makes the statement. He said, Acts 1, 25, he said, "Judas, by transgression, fell." Now listen very carefully. "That he might go to his own place. Interesting phrase. That he might go to his own place. The Bible clearly teaches that every person who dies without Jesus Christ will go to hell. The Bible makes that very clear. Every person who dies without Jesus Christ will go to hell. But hell is not their place. It's not their place. Remember, Jesus described hell in Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew chapter 25, verse number 41, Jesus described hell as everlasting fire, listen to it, everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell was not created for men. That's what Jesus said. Hell was not created for men. Hell was created for the devil and for his angels. It was created for those angelic beings who were once privileged to serve the Lord God in heaven until they chose to rebel against God's throne and they were cast out. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to verse number 15. Therefore, the only reason why men go to hell today, the only reason why men go to hell is because they have chosen to reject Jesus Christ and to follow Satan. That's why they go. It's not their place, but that's where they go. Because they have chosen to follow that rebel against God. But Peter said in Acts 1:25, Judas went to his own place. That is a term that carries two meanings. The term carries two ideas. First of all, it carries the idea that this place where Judas went was a place that was prepared especially for him. It was a place that was prepared especially for him. And it also shows that it was a place where Judas has authority and he has dominion. By the way, it's interesting that John saw a vision of the Antichrist over in Revelation chapter 17, verse number 8. And in his description of the coming of the Antichrist to this earth, notice what John wrote. Revelation chapter 17, verse number 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend. Now let's go back and look at that very carefully. This beast that he saw, later on we find out it's the Antichrist. But listen to what it says. This beast that thou sawest was. He was, past tense. In other words, he was on the earth. Now he is not. He's not here now. But he's going to come again. He's going to come again. And he shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. Therefore, it's my opinion that this son of perdition, this Judas, is now the ruler of the bottomless pit. He now rules in the bottomless pit. And he will continue to reign over his hellish domain until that time when he is allowed to once again come out. And he'll return to this earth as the Antichrist to rule over the nations of the world. You say, Pastor, does that mean he's going to really come back as the Antichrist? Yeah, I believe that's what it means. I believe that's what it means. Just as God will send his two witnesses. Remember Moses? Moses and Elijah, they're going to come back. 3.5 years, they're going to be witnessing for the Lord there in Jerusalem. until the Antichrist kills them. And then for 3 days, all of the world is going to watch their dead bodies lying on the streets of Jerusalem, thanks to Channel News Asia, CNN, Fox News, you know. And all the world is going to see it. And just as God is going to send His two messengers back to this earth during that to minister during that great tribulation, Satan is going to send His Son. Remember, Satan is the great imitator. He's the great counterfeiter. God has a Son. Satan wants to have a Son. And He's going to send His Son back to this earth to do everything He can to fight against, to stop the second coming of Jesus Christ. Well, we're out of time. We'll have to continue with this from this point next time. But the question I would ask you tonight is simply this. Do you truly know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or are you a Judas? Playing the game. Putting on the face. Going through the motions. But no reality of a personal relationship with God. It is possible. People do it all the time. And one day they're going to die in their sin and their eyes will open in that lake of fire. Eternal damnation. May God help us to be real. May God help us to be genuine followers of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for Your Word.